Welcome to the Oakland Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Senior Pastor Randy Bain. It's our prayer that this message encourages you and strengthens you. For more information and for other resources, visit us at oaklandonline.org.
We're going to begin this study of the Lord's Prayer, and so we're going to spend about 4 weeks on it. And I know you probably already know the Lord's Prayer, but hopefully we look at some different directions, get some of the familiar passages, and they will become maybe a little more unfamiliar and a little more intimate, hopefully. So I'm going to read the kind of this. The Lord's Prayer, one of the places it was given is in Matthew 6, which would be the Sermon on the Mount. And he's talking about prayer, and then, of course, gives us the prayer, the Lord's Prayer. So hear the word of God from beginning with verse 5. Jesus is speaking. He says, "When you pray, you are not to pray like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their full reward, their reward in full. But you, when you go into your inner room, close your door and pray to who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. And in this way, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For your kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Amen. Lord, is a former Roman Catholic, so I really pray the Lord's Prayer a lot. And yet, what happens is, sometimes we'll be praying it, and I'll stumble on it, and then the volume goes down, and you all have to kind of carry the way until I find my place again. I'm not alone in that. A couple of years ago, I was at a big church, a well-known pastor in Ohio, and I was at his church, and he was giving us a tour of the building, and I looked at the pulpit, and I said, "Oh, wait a minute, I got to do that." I ran up in the pulpit and stood in the pulpit just to see what it looked like to be him, you know. And I looked down on the pulpit, on the corner of the pulpit, you know what was there? The Lord's Prayer was typed out and taped on the corner of the pulpit. I'm like, I just laughed out loud. I'm like, "I'm with you, brother. I'm right there with you." I don't know what it is, just something about that. But I want you to just look at the context of this. He begins by saying, don't pray like the hypocrites who want to pray in public. Always want to pray in public so everyone sees them. You know, they want to make a big show of it. So I know a lot of people say, "Oh, I just can't pray in public," and they're all worked up. Well, I'm really not so worried whether you can pray in public or not. I'm more worried about, do you pray in private? That's a bigger deal. But that's one of the things that happens trying to pray the Lord's Prayer is that I'm listening to myself pray it, you pray it, I'm trying to follow the screens, and it's kind of neat. Or not neat. If you're up on this side, there is a confidence monitor, or the kind of like there's the back screen usually has two screens on it. So one is the one screen that showed up here, and then the one beside it is the one that's coming. So talk about me. It's easy for this small brain to get confused because I'm listening to myself. I'm trying to pray the Lord's Prayer. I'm listening to you pray it. I'm watching the screen up there, and then the next one that's coming. And if I don't concentrate on just one, I get a hiccup, you know what I'm saying? So if you ever hear me slow down, it's usually, I like to believe I'm just being moved by the Holy Spirit and I can't talk. But unfortunately, that's probably not the case. It's usually I just got confused with all the confusion. It says, don't pray in public for public display, but pray in your secret place where your Father, and notice how many times he mentions this, your Father who hears in secret will reward you. And then it goes on to say a second time, don't repeat the same thing like the Gentiles do. And the Gentiles would be non-Jews, but what he's saying here is prayer is not this magic incantation. You know, abracadabra, 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 No, not yet. Abracadabra, abracadabra. That is not prayer. The Lord's Prayer is not some magic incantation that we're going to say to make God answer our prayers. If you don't have kids, you might have pets. You ever have a dog that keeps pesting you? You know, you either do one of two things. Well, you know, some might kick it, but you might do one of two things. You're either going to give in to the pestering of the dog, or you're going to put it outside. You're like, get out of my sight. We don't want this anymore, right? Kids know how to do that, right? They know how to just put the pressure on. Can I? How many can I's can you take until you say, okay, just do it. I don't care. Do it. Well, God is not that way. We don't have to plead with God. God desires to answer our prayers. Amen? He is a God that hears us, and he desires to answer our prayers. So when we pray the Lord's Prayer, it isn't a big deal about public show, and it also isn't a magic formula. But let's make the Lord's Prayer a secret prayer of our hearts. It is a model prayer. It is an example for prayer. If you're looking for an extended worship time, take the Lord's Prayer and just work through it. Spend time praising the name of Jesus. Think about him being in heaven. Pray for his holiness and to be manifest in your life. And pray for his will to be done. I mean, you could spend hours going through the Lord's Prayer as a model. But also, it's a prayer we can pray, and we can use it to enter into the presence of God. So again, the introduction is an address to God. It is a praise to God, our Father who is in heaven. Of course, Matthew 6:9. Last week I shared, it's kind of interesting that these kind of overlap, because I'm going to begin with the last week's sermon. I'm going to end probably with Psalm 103 again. But I shared how Jesus' address to God in the Lord's Prayer is it follows a Jewish pattern. And I shared last week that many of the Jewish prayers begin the same way. Blessed be our Lord, you know, King of heaven. You know, I mean, that's kind of the way it always starts. And it's Jewish, and so here the Lord's Prayer begins with an address to God who is in heaven. When we say, our Father who is in heaven, we are declaring lordship over all. Okay, he is Lord. Our Father who is in heaven, okay? Now, rather than just describe the similarities between a Jewish prayer introduction, let's look at the differences, because Jesus is also breaking new ground here. He is doing a greater revelation of who God is. Now, notice here, now the word in the Hebrew, Barak Ata Adonai, Adonai is the word for Lord. And it is the substitute that the Jews always used instead of saying Yahweh, because they were afraid to say Yahweh. In the Ten Commandments, it said, I do not take the Lord thy God's name in vain. So they were never going to say the name of God. I mean, we're not going to take it in vain. Now, Jesus, look at the step he takes to go even to a greater depth of intimacy. Not only doesn't call God, Yahweh, but he calls him our Father. He calls him Father. That is the revelation Jesus gives us. The Old Testament, there's a couple references to God as Father, just a couple. But usually not in this personal conversational type. Usually when the disciple or when followers of Jesus, the prophets and patriarchs had an experience with God, they were fear stricken, you know, or they were limp the rest of their life. I mean, it was like, whoa, I have seen God, you know. The one place Jacob calls it Peniel, the face of God. I mean, it is a scary time. But Jesus reveals that he is our Father. The Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, over 100 times Jesus refers to God as Father. Over 100 times. In the Gospel of John alone, over 60 times he refers to God as Father. So if we look at Romans 8:15-16, says, well, we have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirits that we are children of God. Now, they tell me Abba Father is Aramaic, and it means daddy. It's that intimate daddy sound. Now, I had a great relationship with my dad, but it was never a daddy relationship. You know what I'm saying? I called him maybe dad. I never called him daddy. I mean, if I was in need, I wouldn't go running, daddy, daddy. I just don't see that happen. I never did that. But I had a good relationship with him, and it helped me to have a good relationship with my Heavenly Father, because I could trust my dad and I could trust my Heavenly Father very easily. I mean, it was an easy step for me. Like I said, though, I never really called him Daddy. I just think of the intimacy that would require. A few years ago, I saw a teenager had a bicycle wreck, okay, and I saw him jump up from the wreck, embrace my son. Okay, this is a guy. Embrace my son, and cry, "Mommy, mommy, mommy, mommy," and I was like, kind of like, ooh, I was embarrassed. I was embarrassed for him. I'm like, really, you're doing that? You're saying, "Mommy, mommy, mommy"? That's my son. That's not even your mom. But there's something about that crying out, right? I mean, it's even told that young soldiers in the military, when they are dying on the battlefield, will cry out for their mother. Not all of them, but sometimes. What is that? There is some innate thing within us that we cry out to that person who is most intimate to us. I think about that Daddy as I think of the Lord's Prayer. Do I pray with that kind of intimacy? Our Father, do I cry out Daddy? I mean, I sometimes praying, "Lord, help me. Help, Lord, help. Help me." But I never thought maybe I ought to spend more time crying out Daddy. Daddy. That's the intimacy that Jesus pictures, Daddy. And as I said earlier, maybe you didn't have a good relationship with your father. Maybe it was hard. It's hard for you to even trust anybody that is a father figure. Well, my friends, I'm going to tell you, God is not that guy. God is a God who loves you, who is good and perfect, cares about you. He would never harm you, never forsake you, and he desires to give you good gifts. Luke 11:13 is one of those classic passages that where it says that if you who are earthly, evil human beings know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more our Heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. Another translation says, I think one of the other gospels says, how much more he will give good gifts to you who ask. God loves you. You don't have to plead and pry with him to answer your prayers. He desires to answer your prayers. He desires to give you good gifts. Now, I just want to warn you, though, if you go around calling God your Father, you might get yourself in trouble. Jesus got in trouble for calling God his Father. John chapter 5, verses 16 and around there, 16, 17, 18, Jesus was healing on the Sabbath. And the Pharisees got upset with him because you're not supposed to do that stuff. You're working on the Sabbath. And they were giving him a hard time. And Jesus says, verse 17, "My Father is working until now. I myself am working." For this reason, they said the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was also calling God his own Father, making him equal with God. Wow, he was claiming to be divine. That was one of the problems that got him into trouble. Even when he went back home to Nazareth, they said, "Well, isn't he just Joseph's son? Don't we know him? He's just one of us. Who does he think he is calling himself God?" And so as you begin to experience God as your Heavenly Father, as you begin to declare that and live that, your friends and former friends are liable to give you some same tension and the same persecution. It's like, are you like Mr. Goody Two-Shoes now, you know? Or are you better than us? Are you the preacher now? You know, you got religion. You go to church now, you know? They get all irritated. Aren't we good enough for you anymore? And you know that's not the case. You don't mean that. But we are children of God. God is our Father. You need to get that. I mean, some of you just need to get that. That you are a child of God. Jesus died for you so that you could be bought into the fold, adopted, blood adopted into the family. So it doesn't really matter what the world says about you. It doesn't really matter what the world says to you. If we pray this prayer in your secret prayer closet with intimacy and purpose and worship and mean it, we can cry out, "Our Father, Daddy, who art in heaven. Thank you, Jesus is right. Thank you, Lord. Second part of that prayer that really is really the first petition that's found in there is, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Now, it's an expression of praise, but the word hallowed means to make holy or to be holy. And as I think about that, so we're praying, holy be your name. Holy be your name. The word is often translated holy, consecrate, or sanctify. An example of it would be the New Living Translation. Some of you use that translation. It says, our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your name be kept holy. Now, if hallowed refers to the manifestation of God's holiness, how can I make God more holy than he already is? I mean, really, is that legitimately something I can do? Lord, I want to make you holier than you are. You know, how do we do that? I want to draw an example from the Sermon on the Mount, the one I'm trying to get at. In the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord tells us not to worry. He says, why would you worry about what you're going to wear or what you're going to eat? He said, because by worry, can you add one inch to your life? Can you add one day to lifespan? And the answer is actually probably the opposite. It's true. If you worry, you'll probably lose a day, right? He says, so if you can't even change your life and you can't do one thing about your life, then why would you worry about food and clothing? He says, the Lord knows what you need. He feeds the sparrows. And it says, he clothes the lily of the field with beautiful clothing. So why would you worry? So I want to apply that same thing to the holiness of God. If God is already perfectly holy, how can I hallow his name? How can I do anything to make him more holy? I think really what we're praying is that God would hallow himself in our lives. That he would reveal his holiness in our life. That we would see and experience the power and holiness of God in an everyday level. Let's say we took that prayer request and turn it on its side and say, instead of saying hallowed be your name, what if we prayed, may you hallow your name in every waking moment of my life? May I be aware of your holiness in every aspect of my life. Let me see your glory and power at work around me. Now I'm a very sensing person. I don't mean I'm sensitive. I might be sensitive, but what I mean is that I use my senses. I like to look around and see what's around me and what's going on, and that's how I make decisions and gather information. But I'm not a rainbow and butterfly guy, you know. Every time I see a butterfly, I'm like, oh, look at the glory of God. No, I'm not quite that. But Darlene and I, you know, some of you know, we went to high school together, and we actually did leaf collections and flower collections together going through school. And to this day, we still do that. I mean, we don't actually pick them, but I mean, why would I know what a colt's foot is? Why would I know what a wood anemone looks like, you know? Or why would we argue, Darlene and I would even argue, we'd be driving back up the road and like, okay, I think that's that flower. Like, no, I don't think it's that flower. And we'll have a long discussion about what flower is what, and then on the way back, we might even stop and look. You know, just, okay, who's right? What flower is it? But I mean, so we love the flower. I love nature. And if you can get into the presence of God by looking at a rainbow and looking at the clouds and looking at a flower, then hallelujah, you do it. Allow God be hallowed in his entire creation. Glory. But I tell you what really gets me is when I see God's hand at work in someone's life. Oh, hallowed be your name, O Lord. And not only that, when I see that they're getting it, that they know it's God. You know, I can see it's God, and you kind of get the holy giggles. They're like, God's going to get them. God's going to get them. But then when they start to get their eyes open, and they're like, yes, God, you are getting me. I get you. I receive that. You know, that is what's awesome. When you see a healing, Jeremy just shared about a healing. When you see someone, the hand of God touch somebody, and they see the eyes begin to shine and the physical changes. Glory to God. When you see a deliverance, when someone starts to get breakthrough, someone starts breaking through from an addiction, from a terrible sinful habit, or just from a maybe depression and anxiety, and they get set free. Someone breaks through in forgiveness, either receiving it or giving it. For someone receiving Christ for the first time. What an awesome experience of the presence of God. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Be holy, be revealed as holy in my life, in the life of those around. And you can make this prayers of petition, as Jeremy talked about, declaring the name of Jesus on situations. You can declare the holiness of God. Be hallowed in this government. Be hallowed in this with this person, in this situation, with this marriage, with this child. You can, you know, receive that from the Lord. Even the difficult areas of your life, God can be glorified. He can be made holy, even in those areas. It's such a common example. I almost avoided using it this morning. But it's the story of Corrie ten Boom and her sister Betsy. Betsy and Corrie were Christians in the Netherlands, and their family were hiding Jews when the Nazis were trying to kill them. And eventually they got discovered, and Betsy and Corrie and their dad were all taken to concentration camps. Betsy and her dad both died in the concentration camps. Corrie survived. She wrote the story, Tramp for the Lord and The Hiding Place. I mean, those are a couple of the books that came out of that. But one time when they were in their barracks in Ravensbrück, they were so crowded and so filthy. Betsy was praying, asking God, show us how to live the Christian life. Show us how we share you with this population of Jews that are incarcerated with us. And she was praying, show us how. And Corrie looked at her because she realized she was praying. And then suddenly Betsy said, God has shown us how. And they looked around, and no guards were around. So they got this little Bible that they were able to smuggle in. They opened the 1 Thessalonians 5, and this is what the answer was. Verse 14, comfort the frightened, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See that none of you repays evil for evil, but always seeks to do good to one another and to all. Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in all circumstance, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. And after they did that, they said, okay, then that's what we're going to do. And so Betsy began to pray. She goes, thank you for the jammed, crammed, stuffed, packed, suffocating crowds. She said, thank you for the fleas. And at that point, Corrie cut her off, said, whoa, Betsy. Says, I don't think God even wants us to be thankful for fleas. That's ridiculous. And so a couple days later, Betsy came back into the big barracks where they lived with a gleam in her eye. And Corrie looked at her and said, what's up with you? And she says, I found out how we can be thankful. She said, we were having a discussion, cut into a little bit of a fight about the sock knitting or something, what sizes they were doing. So they asked the leader, the administrator, to come in and sort it out. She wouldn't come in. She said, even the guards won't come in. She said, you know why we have freedom in this big open room? Because they had Bible studies in there. They hid their Bible. They worship services in there. Because they were so infested with fleas, the guards and the administrators wouldn't even come into the barracks. Hallowed be your name, even with fleas. The fleas were actually a blessing because it gave them freedom to share the gospel, to preach to those who would die without Christ. That is be our prayer. May your name be hallowed in my life today. May I glorify you today. May I see and experience your holiness today, even in difficult circumstances. And then the second part of that prayer is, your kingdom come, your will be done, which I think it's kind of similar, but it's a little different. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, here we go again with this prayer. I can pray, Lord, have your will to be done. Well, number one, I can guarantee you God's will shall be done. Right? People jokingly say, I know who wins in the end because I read the last book in the Bible. I read the last chapter. Jesus reigns, you know? Jesus shall reign. That's an absolute truth. That's what's going to be. So the question isn't my prayer that Jesus will win, but what is the prayer? That his will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. My prayer is that his will be done in my life, that I'm going to be on his side when he wins. Amen? You know, I'm going to be working cooperation with his will rather than working against his will. You know, and I think you can pray that for many, many situations. You've got a wayward child. Pray that God's will would be done in them. A marriage, a workplace situation, a health issue. Praying for God's will is a good thing. We're really praying that that God's will would be accomplished. We'll be cooperating rather than fighting. And also we're praying that we'll be a part of the God's kingdom. Forgiving those around us. Thy will be done. Forgiving. Giving to those without daily bread. Introducing those who have never heard of a Heavenly Father. Introducing them to the love of God. That's a part of thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I want to challenge us a little bit to pray the Lord's Prayer personally. Don't just wait till Sunday morning, you know, that we all pray it together to watch whether the pastor stumbles it or not, you know. And even, even our, don't just pray it over and over and over, hoping God will hear you, but pray it with renewed intention and make it a personal cry of your heart. O Lord, may we see your holy presence and power in every circumstance, great and small, each day. May we hear your voice and obey your will. You know, I think of what that little Betsy Tim Boom was praying. Show us how, show us how. I think that's a good prayer. Lord, show us what to do. Show us when to do it. Show us how to do it. Show us what you're already doing. You know, I really think of the last three verses of Psalm 103. It says that to bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. I thought, wow, isn't that praying thy will be done, thy kingdom come? May we serve him like the angels do, performing his word, obeying the voice of his word. The next verse says, bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you who serve him, doing his will. There again, we're one of those hosts of his that serve him, let's do his will. And then the final one would probably more refer to us, bless the Lord, all you his works of his, in all places of his dominion. Here, that dominion's talking about his kingdom. Bless the Lord, O my soul. I want to serve him, I want to bless him, and I want to see his name hallowed in my life, and his will be done in and through my life. So here it is. In times of joy, you can pray the Lord's Prayer with praise and thanksgiving. Okay? If you're full of joy, things are going well, then praise him. You can pray this prayer with praise and thanksgiving. If you're in need right now, you can pray this prayer with as a desperate petition for provision and comfort. And if you're in indecision, you don't know what to do, then you can pray this prayer for direction and the revelation of God's will. May your name, O Lord, be hallowed in and among us and every day. Amen. Amen. Let me pray for you. Lord, I thank you that you have given us this prayer. And Lord, we don't want to make this our only prayer. But Lord, might it be a model, might it be a vehicle, might it be a time of entering into your very throne room and experience your holy presence as a Heavenly Father. Daddy, we need you, we love you, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Oakland Church. For more information and for other resources, visit us at oaklandonline.org.